to the Blood Cancer Experience, a podcast by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. This podcast connects people affected by a blood cancer to resources that inform, support, educate, and empower. When it comes to cancer, it's hard to navigate the unknown, and there are no easy answers. We are here to bring the information you need to help make sense of every step of the blood cancer experience. My name is Megan Norrish, and I'm the Community Services Manager for the BC and Yukon region at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Today on the show, I'm speaking with Maureen Parkinson. She is the Provincial Vocational and Rehabilitation Counselor at BC Cancer and the co-lead with Dr. Christine Mayhew from McGill of the website for cancerandwork.ca. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Megan, so much for inviting me to talk on what I consider a very important topic, returning to work after a cancer diagnosis, and also discussing the Cancer and Work website. This website consists of 450 pages of content and resources, includes 9 videos, 7 online tools, and while much of the information was written by the core team consisting of rehab specialists, work-focused specialists, and an interdisciplinary team of nurses and other sort of fields, it was also augmented by specialized topics by 26 expert writers. It was designed to support cancer survivors with returning, remaining, and finding work. And their key sort of targeted audiences, the cancer survivor, the healthcare provider, and the employer. It's the first comprehensive website that links to resources in Canada and also across the globe. It's available in French and English, and it links to helpful resources and is grounded in best practice and research for cancer and work. The first part of the website, if you go into the website and say you click on survivors, you'll see on the left-hand side a table of contents, and it'll include everything from topics like returning to work, staying at work, cancer and its impact and strategies, return to work is communication and teamwork, assessing work abilities, finances and disabilities, work accommodation, workplace well-being, even a section for caregivers, changing jobs and looking for work, a place for discussing or learning about law, policy, and practice, and links to services and resources. So if you were to look at any part of the website, the best one is to look at the returning to work, stay at work. And under there, we have a steps to return to work. And that basically will walk cancer survivors through a step-by-step process that they can follow in order to support the return to work. And there'll be links in those sections to the other sections of the website in order to help them during that step.
What are some common issues for people returning to work after a cancer experience?
The common sort of issues for cancer survivors in preparing to return to work is not adequately preparing for return to work, such as having a good assessment of their abilities, fully accessing supports that can help one improve function, maintaining positive support in the workplace, and asking for help and obtaining supports in the workplace to successfully return to work. And most importantly, taking initiative to prepare and avoid unpleasant surprises, such as job loss or loss of income. I offer return to work groups at the BC Cancer Agency, and too often I hear that I'm not ready to attend that group because I'm not ready to return to work. But just because you're not ready to return does not mean you can't do things such as educate yourself and taking control of the process so you don't feel that the control is taken from you. And that includes accessing resources to get better. Informing yourself, for example, how long-term disability works. In some cases, cancer survivors can feel that they're pushed by case managers. And particularly, you might be pushed if you're not proactive about taking steps to improve your abilities. And they're often reassured that if they feel you're moving forward, and they'll be less likely to pressure you. So one example is if your mood is not improving and you're not trying things out, such as consulting a doctor, going for counseling, accessing groups such as cognitive behavioral therapy to improve your mood, or taking medication, they may be more forceful. Similarly, long-term disability can be a good resource for services if you're struggling. So, for example, if you think you lack the strength to do your job, and if your doctor agrees, usually a doctor needed to recommend this, but ask for insurance providers to pay for kinesiologists to create and supervise an exercise program to bring back your conditioning. Or if you have challenges with your mood, you and your doctor can request counseling. And if you're having problems with thinking, you and your doctor can ask for work-focused occupational therapy to help you find ways to compensate and tweak your jobs, and that's called job accommodations, to allow you to successfully return. But it's important to note these services will not be offered later in a claim because it doesn't make financial sense for insurance companies if you're getting close to being cut off. So you want to ask for these resources and the support earlier. And related to that, it's important to understand that how your insurance works. So not all of them are the same. Many plans, for example, have an own occupation, any occupation section. Own occupation is usually for the first 2 years, which is you're disabled from doing your former job, your current job. But then after 2 years, the definition for receiving payments will be, can you do any job? So I think of an example of, say, if you can't go back to your job as a housekeeper, but you worked before as a ticket agent, they might find that if you can work as a ticket agent, you'll be cut off benefits. And that also means that they don't have to find you the job. They just simply have to identify the job that you can do. So it's in your interest to educate yourself early about what to expect. And just as a side note, when it comes to insurance, your doctor's opinion is key, so it's important to have ongoing discussion of your abilities and readiness to return to work. Sections I would recommend that you look at under the Cancer and Work website is under financial private insurance, cancer is teamwork and communication, and navigating insurance. So related to preparing, it's important to know even your human rights, not so much to prepare for a human rights complaint, this is a last resort, but rather to inform you of your rights and responsibility. This can help you have some confidence about asking for the accommodations that you might need. In a nutshell, an employer has a duty to accommodate somebody with a disability unless they can prove undue hardship. And one point related to undue hardship is that small employers can be more likely to claim this if the accommodation threatens their financial existence. So for more information on this, I would recommend reviewing the human rights section. And of note, many line supervisors may not be aware of the company's obligation regarding human rights, and you may need to reach out to human resources to guide them. I would encourage employers to read the human rights section of the employer section of Cancer and Work.
Thank you so much for sharing that valuable information with us. You mentioned assessing workability. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I often see two groups of people that are facing return to work. The one that's rushing to go back to work and they're not assessing and addressing the challenges. And the other one is too afraid of returning to work and is trying to postpone work as much as possible. It's important to note that the longer you're off, the harder it is to go back. So for those who are worried about work, the worry can often build up and the longer you're off. So better to assess your workability and communicate your challenges with your healthcare team, particularly your physician. You can receive the help to overcome these challenges, such as getting rehab or job accommodations, or if needed, starting to look at other work you can do if you can't return to your former job. And assessments can come in a few forms, self-assessments, and there are many tools under the assessment section or the work tool section of Cancer and Work. Professional assessments, such as from a physiotherapy, like a physical capacity evaluation, psychiatrist, neuropsychology to assess cognitive challenges. And these descriptions are under the assessment section of the website. And also one kind of important section is even to make clear to you and to your physician, what are the demands of the job? A job demands analysis can be asked of an employer, but many small employers don't have that. So you may be able to work out a job demands analysis, which we have under the website, under the tools section, and allows you to determine kind of what your capacity is and your concerns about your ability to do it. And then you can sort of print off the summary and give to your doctor. Part of self-assessment is also to even try out sort of job accommodation ideas, like taking breaks, having reminders if you're having problems with memory, doing high concentration tasks at certain times to see when you can concentrate, or in heavy jobs, trying them out when you're feeling stronger and less tired.
Thank you. That's really, really important. You also mentioned it's important for them to get support. Can you explain a little bit about what that means?
Assessments can help you identify the challenges, and then the next step is to help you address these challenges. So it's important to sort of address this as a start with your healthcare team. If you have insurance, you can even ask them for the help with these various challenges. But there's also lots of self-resource information that can help you address your challenges. Under the cancer and work, under the impact of treatment and what you can do, gives you suggestions about things you can start working on under the 23 most common side effects of cancer and its treatment.
Wonderful. Can you also talk a little bit more about the importance of maintaining a positive work environment?
So absolutely. It's definitely in your interest to stay in touch with your workplace in a positive way so that you can ensure that your job is waiting for you when you're ready to come back and that you get the accommodations you need to successfully return to work. If you've had a bad sort of work relationship, it might be the time for cancer survivors to foster repair so there's positive workplace relationships, again, to help your transition with return to work. So also keep in positive contact with your colleagues because they can be integral in terms of helping you feel supported in the workplace. And so for ideas on this, I would encourage you to look under the section Cancer is Teamwork and Communication.
Great. That's great information. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. What is the one thing that you wish people knew about returning to work after having a cancer diagnosis?
Start early about thinking about return to work. And for most, this is when treatment just ends. And research and ask for help and assess your ability and ask to get help and communicate with those involved with your return to work. This means having conversations about your concerns and what to expect with your healthcare provider, fostering positive relationships, and getting help to negotiate accommodation with your employer.
Great, thank you. What are some coping mechanisms that you can suggest for people in this situation?
Turn your concerns into asking for help. So, for example, you're afraid about returning to work is too stressful. Ask for counseling and learn stress management techniques so you can go back feeling stronger with a bag of tricks to support you. And be resourceful. It's not a weakness to ask for help. There's no downside to saying, what can I do to help cope better with this? And manage your expectation. It's not fair for you to expect yourself to be same or fully ready to return to work. This takes time. This is why the most common job accommodation and most effective job accommodation prescribed is a graduated return to work. Hopefully getting the resources you need and learning coping techniques to help you work more efficiently, like stress management and time management, you can go back to work in a more productive and have a better quality of work life.
So you've been talking a lot about what the survivor can do, but I think it's also really important that employers can also support their employees. So how would you suggest employers support the person returning to work?
The number one is for the employers to be supportive, and that includes creating a work environment, being open and supportive in a communication, creating a trusting environment, and also sort of guiding the work environment, even with the employees, in order to create supports and being open to providing job accommodations to allow somebody to go back to work. The other thing is not assuming that the need for accommodation or reassessment stops after the end of a graduated return to work. Some people continue to struggle well after, and so it's important to consider that they're going to need to check in regularly with the employee over a period of time in order to see if they're coping okay and that to see if things need to be tweaked. Dr. Mayu and I just recently did a webinar for the Work Wellness Institute. In that, we discussed the research and what the research is telling employers in terms of barriers and facilitators to return to work. So I'd recommend that. And then I think for employers also, particularly the small employers, is to read the employer section of Cancer and Work. It sort of parallels the steps and the information that we're giving to healthcare providers and cancer survivors. And it walks them through kind of step-by-step process how to help a cancer survivor back to work. And one really important thing in there is it tells employer the financial benefit of returning a cancer survivor to return to work, that there is a business case to doing the right thing and following good disability management by supporting a cancer survivor back to work.
It's also important to note, how can the family and friends support the person returning to work?
When a cancer survivor is off work, family members start to rely on the to-do tasks around the house, for example, like shopping or driving others, such as picking up or picking up groceries and picking up family members. So leading up to the return to work, to help that person prepare for return to work, it's important to reduce the demands at home to help them focus on conditioning, or even for them to try out work simulations if it's safe to do so, so that they can bring up their stamina in order to return to work. And when they're back to work, they're initially going to be tired. So reallocating tasks like cooking, cleaning, shopping may need to happen and have this discussion before they return to work. And one thing is everybody can chip in and prepare meals ahead of time, doing spring cleaning. So again, to reduce the demands on the person when they return to work initially, as they're most likely going to be tired.
Yes, very, very true. For people who've had a change in circumstances or in their abilities and are interested in pursuing a different career or job, what should they know?
I see many cancer survivors who feel differently about work. They may need to change jobs if they have lingering functional challenges that make it hard to return to their former job or workplace. So there is in the Cancer and Work website career exploration as well as a job search ideas. So in the case of job search, networking is really important, which is considered one of the most effective job search and career exploration tools in terms of helping you find work. So I find when people say are looking at different work, they rely on the traditional job search, which is answering and filling out job applications. But networking is really key because not only can it help you find the right job, but also for help you kind of determine if this job meets your needs. I find when people are in a traditional job search, they almost have blinkers on, they're trying to win the job, but they're not looking at how this job is going to work for them, particularly in light of their cancer experience. And there's resources that exist in your province. And for in BC, for example, we have Work BC, which is an employment service that helps people find work. Particularly, they provide individual support for those with disabilities, and that includes people recovering from cancer and treatment. So in the section of Cancer and Work, links to services and resources, we list a number of resources that exist in the province that help in terms of finding work. And if they don't have the mandate to help you, the odds are they'll know of a resource that will be helpful. So it's worth making that call.
Thank you so much. Those are really important information, and your website sounds really helpful for them to take a peek, especially if they're interested in pursuing different options. What about people who are thinking about going to school or going back to school?
So I would recommend many of the same things that I recommend for return to work. You assess your ability, particularly if you have cognitive challenges, like get neuropsych or learning assessments to help you determine if you can handle school or what accommodations you need to be successful. Get the rehab support if you have challenges to improve your function and to guide accommodations to help you handle your classwork. And many universities and colleges, for example, have counseling or resource centers to help you advocate and navigate this process so that you can go back to work. And I'd also recommend that when you go back, try to go back, not unlike the graduated return to work plan, go back slowly, build on success, test yourself before you go back. So take learning programs or online programs to assess your capacity. And then when you return, start slowly, take a course or two before jumping in full time.
Thank you. Are there any resources that you would recommend?
So, okay, I'm biased here, but as I mentioned, I think Cancer and Work, it's designed to be the hub for anything Cancer and Work for Canadians. So we have assessed and made available anything that can be helpful with staying, returning, and finding work. And that includes links to freely available information across the globe. And we created content, and we've tried to tell you what the research and best practice is available to guide you, and human rights that exist in your province. And kind of a call to you, if you're aware of any work-specific information specific to cancer and work in Canada that's freely available, we want to know that, about that on the website, because we want to make it available to everybody so they can benefit from it.
There is information at the bottom of their website for how they can contact you as well or send their recommendations. So thank you very much again, Maureen, for taking the time to talk with us and share your valuable expertise about a really important topic and one that is very timely with our current environment.
Thank you so much for letting me talk about returning to work for cancer survivors on the website. I appreciate this opportunity to share information and resources.
If listeners have any questions about returning to work after a cancer diagnosis or need support to navigate your own experience, I encourage you to connect with a community services manager in your region. You can visit llscanada.org to connect with us. Until next time, stay well.
Thank you for listening to the Blood Cancer Experience podcast series by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. You can find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts, so be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. If you have an idea for the show, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email with your comments or suggestions to canadainfo@lls.org. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada is dedicated to funding cutting-edge research and supporting people affected by blood cancers. To learn more and access resources including fact sheets, booklets, and webcasts, visit llscanada.org.